The views, opinions, and comments expressed by hosts, guests, and callers of this show are not necessarily those of this station, its parent company, TeleSouth Media, its staff, management, or advertisers. Content of this broadcast cannot be duplicated or used in any way without the express written consent of TeleSouth Media Incorporated.
Now, join us for Advisors Roundtable with your hosts, certified financial planners Greg Cooley and Bubba Labus. It's professional advice for your life.
We thank you for being with us at the Advisors Roundtable. Certified financial planners Greg Cooley and Bubba Labus with you here on the Super Talk Radio. And Bubba, I looked it up. The dictionary definition of milestone.
Okay.
All right. Now, a long time ago, when they had to, you know, measure and do things such as surveying and laying out land and property and roads and that sort of thing, they actually would put a literal stone every mile.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And over time, that was a significant distance. It would let you know when you're going down this road, you passed another one. Sometime they actually had it chiseled in there the number, the mile this was of this particular road. So if you left Dodge City and you were headed to Abilene and you were on this particular road, you could pass the milestone because you didn't have GPS in 1867 or whatever. You could get off your horse and probably stretch your legs a little bit and look over on the milestone and see that you were 67 miles into this journey.
Yeah.
Whatever. Over time, the word milestone has gotten into our vernacular in other ways. It's still a significant achievement as it was the milestone on the road. Yeah. But it's a significant time achievement thing that is happening in somebody's life or in society.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you think back on your lifetime, there have been certain milestones.
Oh, sure.
There have been things that have been significant. Births and deaths and graduations and jobs and that sort of thing. I remember the first time, you know, I got a $1 million client. I thought, you know, golly, I got to write this down. I have no idea what the date was.
Right.
I should have done that.
Yeah.
Right. So do you think we're conscious enough of the milestones that happen in our life, or we're just so busy, or half of us have, you know, some sort of ADD thing going on anyway, that stuff just passes us by?
I think Ferris Bueller said it best.
Okay.
If you don't stop and take a look around every once in a while, life might pass you by.
He's exactly right. He's exactly right.
I mean, maybe it's good to stop and take a deep breath you know, look around and say, man, we got a lot to be thankful for.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Look at what we've accomplished this year.
Yeah.
What have we accomplished this decade?
Mm-hmm.
What have we accomplished this century?
Right.
You know?
Right. And you spend all year pushing your children, following up with your children, helping your children study, helping your children get somewhere on time, all those sorts of things. And the next thing you know, he's 15 years old and he's an Eagle Scout.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Whoa, what happened this year?
What happened? Yeah. Exactly. You know,
right.
I mean, my 15-year-old just finished his project, basically finished it. He's got like 7 or 8 plants to plant, but basically finished his project yesterday. And I was like, you know, I remember it just seems like yesterday I was just holding him in my hands, you know, as a newborn baby boy.
Yeah.
I got another one that took off for Missouri.
Yeah.
Last Sunday to go visit some friends and that sort of thing. And I'm like, you know, where did the time go?
Yeah. And in this, and I'm just going to pick on Henry here because he's the one that just finished his Eagle project. But, you know, 15-year-old in this particular year, I mean, how many things he do athletic? How many things he do academically? How many other strides that have happened in his life? And, you know, we just move on past them.
You're right.
Now, today, this is the last day of the year for 2025, right?
Mm-hmm.
Today is a milestone.
It is. in a number of ways.
Yeah. But one significant way related to the finance world.
Mm-hmm.
I think so often this 90-year-old man has become kind of a part of our vernacular.
Let me correct you there. 95.
Oh, 95-year-old man. Yeah.
He's born in 1930.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're talking about Warren Buffett.
Yeah.
But, you know, people will quote him all the time, or people will refer to him and Berkshire Hathaway all the time, this company that he's created, mm-hmm. and changes that he's made. And he didn't die today, so that's not the milestone.
No.
What's the milestone? What's happening today?
I guess the way to describe it is he's decided that now it's time to retire.
At 95.
At 95, he's decided that he's going to retire.
Today is his last day at work.
Yeah. One other thing that I saw about Warren Buffett a little bit earlier, it was in regard to charitable giving.
Mm.
And he ranked, I think, number two or three for the year on the amount of money that he gave away to charities.
Yeah, quietly.
Quietly.
I mean, really. You know, the man, you know, sometimes you see people in the newspaper and they got their picture in there for giving a $250, and God bless all the $250 gifts that go to all of the charities around the world. But
how many times does somebody give away $300 to $500 million in a year?
$1 million, right?
Yeah.
Right. And many times it's just, you know, quietly he writes a check or transfers the money or arranges for the appreciated stock to go to the right account, all those sorts of things. And we sometimes take that for granted. That's a lot of money. And, you know, he's 95 years old and all of our days are numbered.
Yeah.
Everybody. But as you're 95, you feel like you're probably closer than the guy who's 65. But you know, the guy who's 65 can die in his sleep too.
Yeah.
Whatever. But as you're 95 years old and you start thinking about the end of your life and your mortality and whatever, this guy has made a big difference. He's been his life has been a milestone.
I would say so. And you look at Warren Buffett and the things that he accomplished throughout the years and the business that he created, it was pretty impressive. Pretty doggone impressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and at one time, I think he was the richest individual in the world. I don't know what years that was.
Right. Within the last 20 years, he's been the richest man in the world.
Right.
But then he turned around and, you know, had a conversation with Bill Gates. And Gates talks him into giving away billions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Gates that talked him into it or Buffett the other way around?
You know, that's right.
Yeah.
It was a significant
I think
milestone.
Warren Buffett kind of shamed Bill Gates into not giving money to charity.
He may have. Well, I want to take my hat off to Warren Buffett and say, you know, happy trails. And you know, I'm
congratulations on retirement.
Absolutely.
Right? At 95.
At 95 years old. But that's a milestone. Your career, a lot of your decisions, your influence has been a milestone in America. And there are milestones in all of our lives. Some of them are the ones we experience as we're moving through. Some of them are things that we can remember looking back. But I also want to challenge people to think about the milestones that may be occurring for you in your future. All right. We're going to just let that hang and go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some important milestones of your life from the Advisors Roundtable on SuperTalk. We're back at the Advisors Roundtable. Certified financial planners Greg Cooley and Bubba Labus with you here from the Cooley and Labus studios at Super Talk Radio. And Bubba, we're talking about milestones. We were specifically highlighting the life of Warren Buffett, but everybody has some milestones in their life, some things you can think back on your life that were significant. When you graduated high school, when your first child was born, when you maybe proposed, those sorts of things. But I teased us going into the last break that we may be talking about milestones that are maybe in your future.
Yeah.
And specifically, we're going to talk about some financial milestones. And I'm going to go through and look at certain ages based on the Department of Labor rules or IRS rules or laws that are specific milestones for people. Obviously, your birth is a milestone. Now, financially, why would I highlight Phil's birth? Why would I be talking about Phil's birth? Well, first of all, when Phil was born, he at that time, in those days, he didn't automatically get a Social Security number. And I remember this myself. I was born in 1961. Phil was a couple of years ahead of that. But we didn't automatically get a Social Security number. You get Social Security numbers or got them at that time. You had to actually go and apply at Social Security office or send it in at the post office and fill out a form. But now, as babies are born, Social Security numbers are assigned to them. The parents fill out the form there at the hospital or at the obstetrician. And so your Social Security card being issued to you is a milestone. For a number of reasons, you're going to be identified with the activities related to that Social Security number going forward in your life. Now, when your children, all three of them, were born, what was the process of getting a Social Security number for them?
As I recall, there was basically an application that was provided to us as they were born at the hospital.
Yeah.
And then, 3 to 4 weeks later, their little card showed up in the mail.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that's pretty easy.
Yeah. 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 And as I said, and Phil and I, at our age, we didn't have that happen. Mm-hmm. And so we get to be maybe 10, 12, yeah. 14 years old. When are you going to get your first job?
Yeah.
And you need that number?
Or you need your driver's license or something along those lines. You need the number for something.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I have one.
Right. Yeah, there was a process there. Mm-hmm. So that's a milestone and an important milestone. Here's the other one. Age 13, that's a milestone.
Yeah.
Now you become a teenager.
Yeah, you're a teenager, number one.
Yeah, you can say teen.
Yeah.
Right.
I think at age 13, you know it all, right?
Yeah. You think you do. All right. This is the time when the child is no longer eligible for the child and dependency care credit related to filling out taxes and specifically as it applies to various people. So we have a number of ages that we will attain during our lifetime that are milestones. If you ask the average person on the street, what do you think the average person would say? What's a milestone age? They'd probably say when they get their driver's license.
Yeah.
One of the first ones.
I hear a lot of times age 21, that legal age to drink,
Yeah.
And my immediate response is, it's all downhill after that anyway.
That's right. And you act like that's the first time that it touched your lips, right? You got to act that way, right? So, 21 is also one called age of majority in most states. Mm-hmm. What are we talking about, age of majority in most states?
Well, I would call it age of majority / capacity to contract.
Okay.
All right, so for most states, and even the state of Mississippi has recently changed this.
Okay.
Mississippi in particular used to have age 21 as the age of majority. Meaning that if you attained a certain age, then you had what was called capacity to contract, and you were an adult in the eyes of the law.
Okay.
That has been changed, which is unique because, it's been changed within the last couple of years.
Okay.
Now the age is 18. So there are some accounts out there for individuals, minors, et cetera, who were established under the old law. Right. Meaning that you had to be 21 to be the age majority.
Okay.
So if you had a custodial account, a UGMA account, that sort of thing that had investments, maybe you had a parent or a grandparent that gave money to you, investments, that sort of thing, then you had this account established for you or a bank account, and you had to wait until age 21 for that money to technically be yours. Where you're in charge of it.
All right. Up until then.
Yep.
Somebody else made decisions?
Up until then, you had a custodian of the account that would make decisions on the account.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since that law has changed, so have those types of accounts.
Mm.
So if you were to establish an account today, it's under the new law.
Which would be 18.
Which is 18, which means that upon the age of 18, these custodial accounts become the property, and you have full right and access to do whatever you want to at age 18. Now, I don't know about you, but in my opinion, I didn't make the best decisions at age 18, nor did I make the best decisions at 21.
Yeah. Yeah. Can, why? They're bringing it shorter or earlier in life. I'm thinking, I'm sitting here thinking, my experience is they may need to push it out and make it farther off.
Now, I do see from a practicality standpoint that it makes a lot of sense. Age 18, you're allowed to vote. That's a big milestone for a lot of folks, right? At age 18, many individuals are considered to have the capacity to contract, which means that you're old enough to sign a form to go establish a contract with a cell phone company.
You can go fight for your country.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You know, enter the military. Mm-hmm. So you're thinking it's... It's practical that these things are consistent.
That's right.
One
thing that I would have a question about, and I know it's probably, and I'll probably look it up over the break, is at what age are you allowed to get married? Is it now age 18 without parental signatures and that sort of thing?
I think it goes along with the age of majority.
I think it does as well. I'm going to look that up over the break.
Because, you know, there used to be states that made you wait till 21.
Yeah.
But you could sneak across the state line and go to Mississippi or Alabama or Tennessee and be able to get married over there.
Or you had to get a permission slip from your parents, right? Sign.
Yeah. And, you know, you'd think somebody who loved you would be standing there going, don't do it, when you're 16.
Right.
But in bygone years, it was kind of expected. If, you know, you made it up into your 20s and you weren't married, people were asking the question, you know, what's going on? Are you ever going to tie the knot?
Yeah.
So age of majority is a pretty big thing related to financial accounts, related to the law, and it's 18 in the state of Mississippi now.
And I'll tell you another unique thing about that is upon reaching the age of majority, you're no longer subject to the kiddie tax, which means that you pay regular taxes like anybody else would.
Kiddie tax means you get a little break and pay a little less.
You get a little
less.
Break and have a reduced tax amount if you make under a certain amount of money.
Gotcha. All right. So the real world starts to slap you in the face.
It does.
Between 18 and 21, right? All right. There's another one, age 26. That's when adult children may lose their parents' health insurance.
This is a pretty big one.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize it or think of it, but... You know, health insurance, I think, is one of those things that you have to have. And if you don't, man, what kind of financial burden could you put on yourself, you know, just having something as what you would think would be minor as having an appendix taken out?
Oh, private and self-pay, man. You're really, you know, playing Russian roulette with that.
Yeah.
And I would say it's not advisable. It's one of the first insurances we tell people you need to get, right?
Absolutely. Unless you're really good at ChatGPT and you can figure out how to take out your own appendix, you know.
Not advisable.
Watching some YouTube videos and that sort. Not advisable.
Not advisable. So age 26 is that number. Do we do a good job of communicating these milestone ages in American society, like in schools or churches or boys and girls clubs or your family? I mean, do you think people even know these or are conscious of them?
Very rarely. Very, very rarely.
Right.
I mean, you think of the big ones, right? Oh, 18, I'm allowed to vote. 21, I can go to the bar on my own.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
16, 15, whatever, I can get a permit
to drive.
Get a driver's
license.
Right? Yeah. And we begin to, that becomes part of the fabric of the society. But over time, there are other milestones that are coming in your adult life that I think you need to be aware of.
So we've made it almost through the first 26 years, one quarter of most individuals' lives.
We have, yeah. And this next 50, We're going to have a bunch of milestones mm-hmm. coming for you after 2026. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about important milestones in your life from the Advisors Roundtable. So back at the Advisors Roundtable, Certified Financial Planners Bubba Labus and yours truly Greg Cooley with you here. We're talking about important milestones in your life related to legal and financial matters. And so we've gotten all the way up to up in your 20s. Now, basically, once you get past your mid-20s, they're considering you to be an adult, and you kind of have to start acting like it and earning a living and paying taxes. And so they're not really any specific age-related milestones in your 30s and 40s.
I don't know. What age do you have to start acting like an adult?
Yeah, that is an open-ended question, right? You get to age 50, though.
50 has some significance, right?
Yeah. So you're eligible for a thing called the catch-up contribution.
Well, first and foremost, that's half a century.
Yes, yeah.
You long time.
A while. Yeah. Yeah. And so at age 50, you've probably, maybe you've grown up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you've had a job or earned a living for 20 or 30 years. And so what's the logic of a thing called a catch-up contribution? What are we talking about here?
So it's a couple of things, I think, all bundled into one.
Mm.
At or around age 50, people have, in many cases, matured in their careers usually.
Okay.
Right? And they're pretty established and pretty set in whatever career that they're going to do. Okay. Yeah, there's still job changes and that sort of thing.
And some of us are still trying to figure out what we're going to be when we grow up.
Right.
But by and large, age 50.
Yeah, most people have kind of settled into their careers.
Mm-hmm.
They're usually beginning to top out on their income.
Okay.
Meaning that they're making about as much income as they're ever going to make,
okay,
or beginning those years of the highest income that they're going to make.
Mm-hmm.
And they begin to realize a couple of things. Man, I should have started saving money a lot sooner.
Yeah.
Because I'm a whole lot closer to retirement age than I was, you know, when I was 22 when I started working, or 25, right?
And the things that were important to me in my 20s and 30s, I'm looking back on thinking, I didn't have to spend all that money on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that maybe a little regret starts to sink in.
That's right.
So I'm starting to look at my numbers, as you said. I'm 50 and I...
So think of it this way, right? 50 years ago was 1975.
Right.
And if you're 50 years old today, you know, 50 years ago, you were born in 1975. Seems like a long, long time ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
15 years from now is the year 2040, right? And it's going to be here before you know it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
typically 65 is a big, we'll get to that number in a little while, but 65 is typically a retirement age for many folks.
Right.
Right?
It's a goal at least.
And you're a lot closer to 65 than you are to even 25.
Yeah. When you're 50.
Yeah.
And so the IRS, the government, the law says you can do some catching up.
Yeah. Meaning that you can begin to save a little bit extra within your retirement plans.
Okay.
Generally speaking, in an IRA or in a simple IRA or a 401k, 403b, you've got extra amounts that you can put away into retirement savings for yourself.
Okay. All right. So otherwise, and totally, there's a cap. You can't put $400,000 in your IRA.
No, you can't.
Right.
No, you can't.
Right.
Now, I might be wrong on this. I think the current statutory 401k limit for this year is $23,000.
Sounds right.
And then I think you get $7,500.
Right. So
extra.
You can get a little over $30,000.
Yep.
If you chose to. You're age 50. You're like, hey, I need to catch up here.
Yeah.
And maybe at that point, people are starting to not only be up into their careers, maybe they've shaved all or a portion of their debt away.
Right.
And they don't need to take home as much salary.
What if you have gotten to a point where you don't have to have a car payment at age 50?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, that's close to $1,000 a month if you're married,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
What do you do with that extra $1,000?
Okay.
Well, rather than spending it, right, why don't you put it into a retirement plan?
Mm-hmm. And so at age 50, they allow me to.
Yep.
And if you're over 50 and you're thinking, you know, I might have a couple extra bucks and it needs to be allocated somewhere, and I also would like to have some tax advantage, and I'd like to also be able to catch up and save a little bit more before I get up into my 60s, this is an option for you.
Right.
Do enough people know about this? You talk to people who are up in their 50s at their 401k, and when you're talking to them and doing a review, and you're asking them, well, are you doing the catch-up? And do some of them look at you like they don't know what the heck you're talking
about. So many of them, I'm trying just to get them to save a little bit more than what their match is. Right?
Right.
Now, granted, if you're saving anything, it's good. But if you're still saving, 3 or 4% a year just so you can get the maximum match that you can, maybe it's time at age 50 to begin saying, hey, you know what? Why don't every year I go up another 2% of my pay so that I can save more?
We even talk to people in their 20s and 30s about this. You know, the employer's going to match you 3%, and but you got to put the 3% in order to get that. If you only put in 2%, most of the time they're only going to put in 2%.
Right.
So if you want to get the max that they're going to give you, you know, you need to do the 3%. And why don't you set it up so next year you bump it up to 4%?
Right.
And the next year you bump up your contribution to 5%. It's only 1%.
Yeah.
So let's do the quick math. Let's say somebody's making $40,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you know,
talking an extra $400 a year,
and divide that by 12.
Yeah. Well, divide it by 26.
Yeah. How many pay periods? Mm-hmm. You know, $15, $20, $25.
I guarantee you, you're not going to miss that extra pizza.
Or that extra coffee.
Yeah.
Somebody told me the other day they cost $8. You can pay $8 for a coffee?
Wouldn't surprise me.
Man, I'm old.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. All right, here's one. Speaking of getting older and these milestone ages, we get up into our 50s. Many people know that if they take money out of a retirement account, they're probably going to have to early. They're probably going to have to pay a penalty. You think most people kind of know that? They've heard that? They understand that?
Most know that.
Okay. When you get up into your 50s, there may be some exceptions where you can take money out of a retirement account. Yep. Now, on one hand, we were just talking about putting extra into a retirement account. And then here I'm talking about possibly taking some out.
Yep.
But sometimes life happens to people, right?
Sometimes life happens. Sometimes people retire early. You know, maybe they retire early and they've got to have access to their retirement plan in order to supplement their income until they can even begin taking Social Security.
Didn't there used to be a mandate that if you were like an airline pilot, you had to retire? Yeah.
Basically a forced retirement.
Yeah. And wasn't that in your 50s?
Mm-hmm. It was.
And so they decided that maybe to accommodate that, they'd allow the IRS code to allow you some exceptions.
Yep.
So if you're over age 55, you may be eligible for one of these penalty exceptions of taking money out of your retirement account. All right? You know, like a disability or a death or forced retirement. There are a number of those exceptions there. But now when you get to 59 and a half, that's another milestone year.
It is.
All right. Now, at 59 and a half, what are we allowed to do?
We're allowed to take out distributions from IRAs or retirement accounts without a penalty.
Whether you're a pilot or you have an exception or whatever.
That's right.
Everybody can based on this age.
So penalty-free distributions.
Okay.
So what's the penalty? It's 10%.
Okay.
It's significant,
right?
Yeah. If I need to take out $1,000, I know immediately $100 of that's going to penalty. And then I've got another amount going to tax, maybe 20% going to tax.
Here's another thing I think a lot of people don't realize. We'll use your numbers. 10% is the penalty and 20% is the tax. You took $1,000 out in your example, right? They don't give you credit for paying that penalty.
No, you still they tax pay. You on the full amount.
You got to pay tax the whole $1,000.
Yeah.
So they take the $100 out, and then they go back around and say, hey, Bubba, I need another $200.
That's right.
So it's $300 out of the $1,000?
That's right. Significant.
Yeah. we need to be planning for this, don't we?
We do.
For the distributions and what our tax rates are going to be and how much we're going to pay on taxes on money that we've had as distributions. Now, many times people will just come in the office and say, I need $10,000.
Yeah.
Well, why do you need $10,000? Well, I need $10,000 because something happened and I need to, you know, it just came up. That's the one that makes my head, you know, the back of my head explode. Life just, you know, everything just came up, whatever that means. And so as they are taking money out, they're doing it episodically, not necessarily as episodes, just when it fancies them or when they have an emergency or whatever, and not as a plan. There might be a better way for me to have gotten you $10,000 over the last year or two.
Right.
As opposed to you getting it all in one lump sum. Mm-hmm. So if that happens to you, we may need to plan around these penalties and these taxes and try to help you out.
One thing that we call that is retirement income distribution planning. Mm-hmm. It's a whole lot of words there. Mm-hmm. But what's the best way to get income in retirement?
Right. Right.
What's the most tax efficient way to get income in retirement?
And my answer may be different than Phil's.
Yeah, very much so.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Phil, he's Daddy Warbucks over there. He's he got all that money. He may be in a different tax bracket. Yep. He may be able to put it off longer. He may have more money saved. He may have more money in certain kinds of accounts that are not going to have such tax restrictions on them. So all this is part of that planning you're talking
about,
right? All right, so let's do one more before we go. Okay. No, let's go ahead and go to the break, and then we'll come back and talk about other age milestones in your life from the Advisors Roundtable. So back at the Advisors Roundtable, Certified Financial Planners Cooley and Labus here, talking about important financial and legal milestones of your life. We've gotten you up to age 59 and a half here. Now, up in your 60s, buddy. Woo.
We got a lot of numbers and ages at age, like beginning at age 60.
Right?
Yeah, things start happening.
They really do. You're eligible to claim certain kinds of Social Security survivor benefits, and as a widow at age 60, you're also eligible to...
Let's talk about those real quick. So, age 60, Social Security survivor benefits.
Mm-hmm.
That is, in essence, the ability for an individual to have a Social Security payment if they were married and their spouse passes away, so like widower benefits, that sort of thing, widow benefits, and they had to have been married for 10 years.
Right. Social Security terms it 40 quarters.
Yep. And and they base that on the eligibility of the
deceased
right. as well.
Right.
So based on their income and the widow benefits, and so it's a benefit eligible at age 60 for individuals who are widowed.
And if that has occurred to you, but you also worked yourself, it's still worth talking to somebody who knows what they're talking about.
Right.
Or going on to SSA.gov or scheduling an appointment at your local Social Security office just to see if this is the time for you to file.
Yep.
It may or may not be. My uncle looked at me one time when he saw me, caught me looking at a real pretty girl. We were at a ball game, and he called me. You know how teenage boys will lock on.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of watch girls as they move.
Right.
And I'm going to leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle saw me, and he looked over at me and said, boy, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
That's right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And same thing. A lot of people look at Social Security. They get this taste in their mouth. They get this anticipation about it. And they jump on it first shot. And sometimes the first opportunity is not necessarily the best one.
Yeah.
But at least begin to inform yourself.
You're right.
So if you're a widower, start looking into it and getting the information around age 60.
Let's talk about something else that's kind of new that happens at age 60 now.
This is weird.
It is a little weird, I would say. Yeah. But for the individuals that it applies to, it helps.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I mentioned that age 50, you're allowed to do catch-up contributions
on
to
those
retirement plans.
Right?
Okay. Now, at age 60, you get an extra catch-up that you can do.
Okay.
So how does that work, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to make up some numbers here because I don't have them right in front of me.
Uh-huh.
But at age 50, you're allowed to put extra money into a retirement plan because you've attained this age.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
demographically, you're kind of settling your career, maybe less debt, you can afford to do so.
Might not be a bad idea.
At age 60, you're allowed to do even more of a catch-up.
Okay.
So it's a period of time, I think it's age 60 to 63,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
And you've got this 3-year window uh-huh. that you're allowed to do an extra catch-up amount on top of the already catch-up that you've got to do at age 50.
And don't ask me why. That's the reason I said it's weird. Don't ask yeah. me why they open it up at 50 and yeah. then open it back up at 60 and then close it down for people who are over 63. I don't
tell know. You, hey, laws and sausages.
You don't want to see them made.
You don't want to see them made. But... If yeah. you're age 60, mm-hmm. between age 60 and 63,
yep.
and you're fully contributing to your retirement plan.
And you want to do more.
And you want to do more, you now have the opportunity to do so.
Yeah. Yeah. And ask questions.
That's a pretty good benefit.
And
yep.
we can look up the numbers for you and help mm-hmm. you decide, is this a good idea or not? The other point you made earlier is that as people get into their 40s and 50s mm-hmm. and early 60s, they're probably around their peak earning years.
That's right.
You may need an extra tax deduction.
That's correct.
So this might be a time for you to say, hey, I want an extra mm-hmm. tax deduction, and I'd like the money to stay with me.
Right.
And the way that you can do that is do this catch-up related to your retirement account. All right, then we get to age 62.
Yep.
Now, this is the one that most people are licking their chops over.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, 62. I can sign up for Social Security.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna go ahead and get it before it's all gone.
I'm gonna get it while I can.
Yep.
That's right. Right. Now, is this a smart move for somebody? Or some people?
I would say for some, yes.
Yeah.
For some, no.
Right.
For some, it's a terrible move.
Right.
All right.
Right.
So you've got some earnings tests that you're allowed to make a certain amount of income before your Social Security is penalized.
Yeah.
If you are a very low-income earner or you are partially retired and earning somewhere in the neighborhood of $23,000 a year or less, yeah, this might be a good way for you to supplement your income.
Yeah.
Go ahead and start your Social Security.
It could be. Yeah. You're comfortable with that income level and you've got your lifestyle there and maybe also your body. It's starting to tell you things. Mm-hmm. So there are a number of reasons that it could be a decent idea for you.
If you are still working and you're making more than that amount and you can live without this income.
Like my uncle said, just because you can
doesn't mean you should. Yeah.
So don't do it.
Then delay.
Right. Right. All right. We start getting up into our mid-60s. We can do that thing where you were talking about between 60 and 63. So 63, that's the final year of that increased catch-up thing that you were talking about. 64 and 9 months for some people. What is that?
That's the first time that you're eligible to sign up for Medicare.
Okay.
So there's a window for you to sign up for Medicare, and it's basically 3 months prior to your 65th birthday. So 64, 9 months, in essence, tells me that you're eligible to sign up for Medicare.
Okay. All right. And people have you said a window?
They have a window. Yes, to 3 months prior, the month of your 65th birthday, and 3 months after sign up.
So somewhere in that seven-month period... In your middle 64 year, we probably need to talk to you.
I'll say this. If you're 65 and turning 65, know that you need to sign up for Medicare. We don't want you penalized.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, there are penalties associated with some of these decisions that are going to last you the rest of your life.
That's right.
So please don't have those penalties occur for you. Now, based on the year in which I'm born... I can have full retirement related to my Social Security, right?
That's right. Which means that there's no earnings test. Mm-hmm. You could be, again, Warren Buffett. Mm-hmm. You could have all the income in the world and it not be your Social Security not be penalized.
Okay. All right.
So, you know, beginning basically if you were born between 1943 and 1954, you would start at age 66. That's your full retirement age.
All right. And going back to your example, if I started at 62, I'm going to have a penalty if I make more than $23,500 or whatever the number is until I get to this date, if I was born before 1954, mm-hmm. right? But if I wait, then I'm not going to have a penalty and I make anything I want to.
That's correct.
I can go back to work for my brother-in-law or whatever, mm-hmm. right? And still get my full retirement from my Social Security.
That's right.
Now, does that mean I don't ever pay tax on my Social Security?
No, it doesn't mean that.
Oh, okay, you know? Shoot.
The government do take a bite, don't you?
Do take a bite. That's right. So you may, based on income, earning limits, and all mm-hmm. and levels, you may still owe some tax.
Yep.
Even on Social Security. I know that Mr. Trump talked about this, and there may be a special credit or deduction related to people who are earning and receiving Social Security, trying to get it to where we're not paying tax on Social Security. But right now, you still have to fill out the form. You still have to pay the tax.
That's right.
You still have to calculate the tax, right? All right. Now, if I was born after age 1954, I've got a different full retirement date?
You do, and it's usually 66 plus a couple of months.
Okay.
The big number, I think, is if you're born 1960 or later. Okay. Anybody born after 1960 mm-hmm. Has a full retirement age of 67 years old.
Okay.
67, right?
Yeah.
67 years old after 1960.
Okay. All right. And that's actually where I fall.
Yep.
So I'm waiting to age 67.
And then you're going to sign up.
I'm probably going to sign up. I know the next milestone is age 70, and I could wait,
mm-hmm.
but I'm kind of one of those guys that I want to get it while I can.
That's right.
But I don't want to pay too much tax on it, and I sure mm-hmm. don't want to pay a penalty.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm going to get it somewhere between 67 and 70. There are a number of other milestone ages and times that maybe we'll get to on other shows, but I just wanted to have a show where we talked about this because I think it's significant for people to understand that once you attain certain ages, there may be special rules associated with you and your circumstance. All that from the Advisors Roundtable on Super Talk Radio.
The discussion and content expressed by the host of the Advisors Roundtable are intended to be received as news, educational, and entertainment or unit items and are not to be accepted by the listener as legal, investment, insurance, or tax advice. Opinions and views will be expressed by guests of the Advisors Roundtable, and those opinions and views are those of the guests alone and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Advisors Roundtable, host, or any of its affiliated radio stations. All information provided is educational in nature and is not intended to be acted upon without first consulting the appropriately licensed professional of your choosing. Before acting upon any information obtained during an Advisors Roundtable broadcast, an individual should understand matters are extremely tax-specific and require advice tailored to individual facts and needs.
Advisory services provided through Ignite Planters, LLC.